This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Thank you, Dave, for the introduction. And you are back in the Christian War Room, and we are talking about heaven visits and hell visits, NDEs, near-death experiences. Is it all fake? Can we take him seriously? Is it all delusional? Is it deception? What is it? Is it a little bit of sparkling in the brain before the brain shuts down completely? What can we take from it? Dale Gentry used to say, deception runs deep. And that, to him, was a revelation by the Holy Spirit. And I totally agree. Deception runs deep. And that is on all sides, really. And we need to be very careful. Anything, you know, even anything said here on BPN Radio, anything said here in the War Room by Michael, your host, you need to weigh before God. I do get things wrong. And when I look at my Christian life, 30-odd years, there are a lot of things I did get wrong. And also, I believe there are a lot of things I did get right. I mean, the one thing I did get right is to give him my best to follow Jesus Christ. I mean, and this is what you should do as well. This is what we all need to do. Yeah. Get rid of sin and follow Jesus. Okay, we are talking about heaven stories. And in the last talk, I was voicing my concerns that there's a lot of fakery out there. And I warned this, many of the talks I've talked about this, that when you go through the New Testament, it's just full of, you know, don't follow those false teachers. They are fake. They are wrong. They are twisting the gospel. They are preaching a different gospel. They are preaching a different Jesus. Your faith is in nothing. You're the most to be pitied if you believe these guys. It's an issue all the way through the New Testament. A lot of fake stuff going on. And we need to try to go back to the Word of God, not to extra biblical revelation, even though, you know, if there is any revelation and it is encouragement, like a prophecy or something like that, test them. That's very important. And we are told in the Bible to test them, keep the good and discard the bad. And also, you know, when these heaven stories come, test them against the Word of God. I also see about the people, you know, Jesus said that you will know them by their fruit. You will know them by their fruit. And simple description, a bad tree cannot bear good fruit and a good tree cannot bear bad fruit. Yeah, very, very simple thing. So you look at the fruit of the tree and then you know what's going on. So we've got these two things. We measure against the scripture, have a good portion of discernment, yeah, pray about the stuff, and the Holy Spirit is going to lead us into all truth. He's going to tell us about Jesus. He's going to declare who he is to us. Yeah? And he will lead us into righteousness, convict us of sin, yeah, and also clarify these things as well. So the Holy Spirit is not just a joy machine, which some people seem to think, you know, where you go somewhere, dance around, but it goes much deeper. The Holy Spirit will guide us through our lives, in our relationship with God, warn us of things which are wrong, and make us sensitive towards the good stuff and the bad stuff. And we need to test it. We need to test everything. Word of God, Holy Spirit, and look at the fruits as well. Look at the fruits of those people who are declaring these things. And in England, there's a term which sounds like a swear word, but over here it isn't one. And the term is called shyster. I don't know whether you use this in American English, but in England it's used, and it's meant a con man, somebody who deceives, somebody who comes around and he just tries to take advantage of you, and he tries to trick you. And that person is called a shyster here in England. It's actually derived from a German word, which is less complimentary, but it's quite an interesting term. Now, there are lots of them in the church. There are lots of these shysters, conmen, deceivers, whatever you want to call them, who are here to take you for a ride. And it's very easy. And I'm just going to start with the Christian music. Have a look at Christian music and then dig in a little bit deeper. And what you sometimes find is that a lot of labels are owned by secular companies. So we are getting our Christian music, you know, so-called spirit-filled, spiritual music from labels which are not Christian. You know, the people who run those labels, they're just interested in making a bob or two. Okay, the next thing is, you get like all these fair to rock stars and pop stars. They don't make it on the secular scene, so they pull them into the Christian scene. And when you look at some of the people who are there, they're not Christians. They don't have a testimony. They don't have any witness. And the whole grassroots, you know, movement is gone away. So again, there's a lot of deception which is going into the church, a lot of crazy stuff which is moving right into the church. And we need to get rid of all this stuff, you know, purify, you know, our house. It's a bit like every spring you've got the spring fling, where you clean out your house and, you know, get all the dust and the rubbish out and give it like a good clean from top to bottom every springtime. You know, get the muff of the winter, get it out, yeah, and clean it all out. And I think that's what we have to do with the house of God every now and then. And the heaven visits, I think, is one of those things where we need to look very carefully, look at those people, see what their motivation is, and then either accept it and take something from it. And some stories are very encouraging, and some of them are very disturbing at the same time. Get rid of those and, you know, keep the others. Okay, why is this important that we do this exercise? So number one is we need to let people know about reality. Again, there are a lot of, there's one woman, the most interesting thing is when you listen to the, you know, the heaven visitors and, you know, allegedly people Jesus takes them to hell and to heaven. And then it's interesting as well, who are the people they see in hell and who are the people they see in heaven? And then some accounts, one of them was about Michael Jackson. One said he was in hell. The other one said he was in heaven. Yeah. And, you know, having a good time and everything else. So who's right? You know, only one of them can be right. And the one who said that he was in heaven, I have to say I've got serious doubt about this lady that she is right. So she describes heaven as a bit like the Muslim heaven, where it is just a place of carnality. You can eat what you want, you can indulge, and you can, you know, just jump around and have lots of fun and have a great party and so on. That's a little bit her description of heaven. And apparently she can go instantly into heaven. So she wants to go into heaven, she can just switch off and she's in heaven and they don't see her, but she is there and she can observe what's going on. And then she writes it all down and she gets one book after the other and she makes a lot of money from those books. And again, at that point, I'm thinking to myself, what's going on here? What's going on here? Right. I'm just looking at my notes here, what notes I've got down, and I'm not sticking to my notes, which makes it very, very difficult and awkward to talk here on the radio. Okay. Are these people self-delusional? Okay. I want to talk about one thing, you know, when we look at these seven visits. Yeah. Okay, and that is what is really going on with these people. You know, are they seeing heaven? Are they seeing a delusion? Are they seeing something spiritual? Are they self-deluded? What is going on? Okay, let me sort of describe this, and I'm not sure how close I am to the truth. When I was in Africa, and I worked for a period of about 5 years, I was in and out of Africa, Uganda, quite a lot, and I got to talk a lot with Ugandan Christians. And it's a really interesting thing. One thing I learned about Africans is that they're very spiritual people. And when you deal with Africans, they're either in cahoots with the devil or they're in cahoots with God. And you either find the nicest people on this planet or you find the most horrible people on this planet. But there's very little in between. It's really, really bizarre. It's quite a place of extremes. And it's literally, I mean, I've been to some places and I sat on the land, and it was a very tranquil place, and then almost like paradise. But then you go a little bit down the road, and you can sense the darkness of evil just being manifested in this place. Okay, so one of the things the people down there told me was always the spirit from under the water. Yeah. And they told about so and so and so and so. You know, he's made a pact with the devil, and so-and-so got very rich, and then they always talked to spirit under the water. And I never knew what they were on about and what the spirit under the water thing was. And then I thought it, maybe it's time to do some digging. And they just talked to me like I knew everything about it. There's apparently some mythology in Europe as well about spirits, you know, being in lakes and in wells and stuff like that. And there's some mythology sort of going around this, whether, you know, how real it is and what was going on in medieval times, I'm not sure. But maybe there's something to it. Yeah. I mean, waters are very mystical, very spiritual places in a sense, I guess. Okay. Anyway, I was digging in, and then they started telling me that that there's something going on with the souls of people who enter this pact with the devil. And they were telling me about one woman, and this woman, she had like a second life. It's a bit like the simulating game. I don't know whether you know this, or you came across a second life where you can go on a computer and you can create your virtual world and you can be somebody, and you spend time in your second life as an animated character, interacting with other people. And I checked it out one day, and it just seems to be like a simulated world, which is just in digital formats, and you can buy houses, you can buy stuff. It's very, very strange. Anyway, what's happening is, and this is what they explained to me, these people never sleep. So when they go to bed and they close their eyes, then the spirit goes under the water, and they live in a different world. You know, so they're fully conscious in a different world, and they're hanging out with their friends from under the water. And then in the morning when they wake up, they come back into this world anymore. But these people never, ever sleep. They're conscious all the time. And they do this to make a pact with the devil somehow. Okay. I don't know how real this is. I don't know what to think of the whole thing. But some of this occult practices reminded me a bit of some of the heaven people who claim they've been to heaven. And they can go at will anytime into heaven, and they can check it out and observe it and take notes and write books and make lots of money from it. And again, some of the ideas which come from particular one woman who claims that she's been in and out all the time, some of the ideas which she seems to present sound very similar to the stories I heard about this woman. I mean, they told me about this woman, that she was married in the world under the water, and that in this alternate reality that she had kids and she had a family and everything else, and then she comes back into this reality. Again, my thinking is it's an occult delusion. People believe this is a real world, they are there, but it's a little bit like the Matrix. They are just in a delusion, one big delusion. And my thinking is that this lady as well, that she lives in this big delusion. And one thing which really triggered it for me is, bearing in mind, okay, the Bible says that Jesus doesn't know when he comes back. Only the Father knows when, you know, when he will come back to take us home. He doesn't know it, only the Father knows. Yeah. So it could be any time. There are a couple of criteria which have to be fulfilled. And to be fair, it looked in the first century that all of them were fulfilled and that they justifiably could expect the Lord's return at any time. I mean, Thomas went to India, has preached the gospel there. Some people went even further afield. And for all intents and purposes, they could have thought that the gospel had been preached to all nations or all known nations at the time. And therefore, they could expect the Lord to return at any time. So when Paul is writing about this, he's actually quite correct to say, you know, the end is near and the Lord is coming back soon and so on. And Peter says, but, you know, his delay, don't take it too serious, because, you know, God has got mercy and he wants that everyone comes to repentance. And therefore, God may delay. And then the famous verse that a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like a day for God. Right. Okay. So we've got this woman coming up, and she obviously, because she's got access to God like no one else has, and almost a bit like a papal thing, you know, where they can come up with ideas and doctrines, and you can't challenge them. If you accept that she is genuinely seeing heaven and genuinely seeing Jesus without testing it, then you have to abide by her authority. Anyway, apparently Jesus said to her, no, you know, he's not coming back soon. It's still going to carry on. And, you know, there's plenty of time left. There will be a great revival, a great change, and everything will be wonderful. Nothing is going to happen till the late 2020s. Yeah. Okay, so that's what she said. Then straight away, you have to think, okay, what about the imminency of Christ's return, that he could come back at any time? So when the trumpet sounds, he will come back, he will call his people home, and the judgment, the great judgment will begin, the great period, the great tribulation time will begin sometime after that. So the imminency of the return of Christ is completely gone. And secondly is that the Bible is very, very clear. Only the Father knows when Jesus is coming back. Only the Father will give the command and says, take your bride, you know, take her home. It's time. And the trumpet will be blown, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are left over will be, you know, will meet the Lord in the air. Yeah. And not according to her. Not according to her. Okay, and the next thing is, you know, she talks about the great revival and the great turning to God. And I hope this is, I genuinely hope, you know, there's going to be a time where there will be a great harvest. And like all the latter rain day people, you know, what they come up with, that, that, you know, there will be this great worldwide revival and, you know, everybody will come to Christ and there will be this repentance and people will cry and change their ways and so on. And that would be marvelous. And I would hope that this would happen, but it doesn't look like it. And the Bible doesn't endorse it either. The Bible says there's going to be a great falling away. What is a great falling away? A great falling away is that people once knew about God, they once knew about Jesus, but they have chosen not to follow him. And they're just falling by the wayside. They're just falling by the wayside. The great falling away. And again, that's what the Bible tells me. You know, this woman tells me a different story. She tells me not to expect Christ's return. She tells me there's a great falling. There's a great revival, you know, and the church will become really, really powerful. So this is the doctrine of dominionism and so on. All unbiblical, totally unbiblical. Okay, and then she comes up with some other really bizarre stuff, yeah. Okay, you can take it or you can forget it, but that's the pre-existence of human nature, yeah, the pre-existence of man. So she says that there are all these little spheres and they are all little babies and they are waiting to come into, you know, into conception, you know, when egg and sperm come together and to come to earth. And you kind of think, right, if I were with God a little sphere and I go down here and I become a sinful person and I'm sort of realizing that most of these little spheres, they grow up and they end up in hell. I wouldn't want to go there. I would stay well clear of it. Okay, that's number one. Number two is there's not the slightest indication anywhere in the Bible that life is created or the souls are created or that they're in pre-existence or some sort of eternal state. The Bible, the way, you know, I understand it, we can understand it, is that it happens at conception. The whole process of creation, soul, spirit, and body, happens at conception. When this happens, a little miracle occurs, and it all fits together, and a human being, a fully-fledged human being, is ready and waiting to be born and waiting to enter the cycle of, not the cycle of life, but waiting to enter life. It's not a cycle in the sense of Hinduism. But what we get is we get some sort of Hindu philosophy, New Age philosophy, which subtly creeps into this whole heaven doctrine. And we get this woman destroying a lot of doctrines. One of them is eschatology, about the end time. You know, everything goes downhill. People will get themselves steeped into rebellion against God. When the tribulation time comes, these guys are ready for tribulation. They're ready for the wrath of God to be poured out on them. And if you could see from God's eyes what's going on, from the sense of righteousness God is, then the same thing, you know, we would applaud what's going on there. We would applaud what's going on there. And this is sort of important. Okay, so we've got eschatology. Then we've got like the imminency of Christ. Yeah, we've got the whole apostasy suddenly doesn't take anymore. We've got dominionism, which again is a non-biblical doctrine. We have got then the other thing as well, that pretty much everybody ends up in heaven. You know, all the celebrities and so on who didn't follow Christ. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, that I think you'll be surprised when you go to heaven who you find and who you don't find there. I believe that salvation on its own is not the standard. It's not sky high. It's a very simple, you know, you believe Jesus said that he has died for you and that he has shed your blood for you. And that you want to accept him and follow him as your Lord, you know, even if you make a complete mess of your life. But that is a key, and I believe that that is the key to salvation. When you call upon the name of the Lord, he will save you. Yeah? There's no ifs, no buts, no nothing. It's not by your merits. It's not by what you do. It's not by how pious you are, how, you know, holy you walk through life or things like that. That's a different story. That's to do with the rewards you may get or may not get, yeah, in heaven. But salvation is very, very simple and straightforward. So there are probably a lot of people you never thought would make it into heaven, but somehow there was this spark of the gospel lighting up their hearts, and maybe sometimes even, you know, when they realized I'm about to die, I need to be right with God, and they make this decision last minute. Okay, and I'm not saying that Michael Jackson couldn't be one of them. I don't know, you know. I don't know for sure where he is, whether he's in hell or he's in heaven. No idea. But one says he's in hell and she's seen him in hell. The other one says he's in heaven and she's seen him in heaven. So one of them is wrong. That's just by the laws of logic. It cannot be in two places. They might be both wrong. Yeah, they might both be delusional and they haven't seen what they claim to have seen is for real. Yeah, it was something else. I don't know. Yeah, that's the answer. I don't know the ultimate answer. I don't know how much deception is going on. I haven't got, you know, supernatural discernment to say one is right, one is wrong. I haven't got this gifting. But it is very, very important to sort of bear this in mind, look at this, and to come to conclusions. Okay, we are in the war room. I'm just looking whether there's any anything in my notes which we still need to cover here. I've got a couple of figures in the Bible. We've got the calling of Isaiah. We've got Daniel. We've got Moses. We've got Solomon. We've got Paul. Obviously, we've got Peter and John. Peter. At the Mount of Transfiguration. Who was the other one? It wasn't Peter and John, was it? I need to check it out. Mount of Transfiguration, where we've got some sort of insight into the heavenlies. We've got the story about the rich man and poor Lazarus. We've got the criminal crucified with Christ, who died with the promise that, you know, that day he will be in paradise with Christ. What else have we got? We have got, I'm just looking at my notes, anything which is missing here, which I haven't covered, because I want to make this the last talk on this heaven experience here in the war room. Okay. Now let's just move on with this war room. We need to, number one, you know, look at it with discernment, and then come to a conclusion of whether it's right or wrong. It's not wrong to judge it, but it's wrong to endorse something which we can very clearly see is not okay as far as the Bible is concerned. It's in contradiction, in blatant contradiction with the Bible. We need to elevate the Bible above every doctrine, everything or anything people say or come up with. Yeah, if it doesn't fit in with the context of the Bible, it's bad. Okay, I'm going to mention one more guy, and he had a hell vision, and his name is Bill Wiese, or Bill Weiss, I'm not sure how you pronounce it. In German, you pronounce him Wiese, it's a German name, yes. Weiss, no idea. Anyway, he had this vision in heaven, and was it 25 minutes in hell? Not heaven, in hell, 25 minutes in hell or something. And he gives us a story of what hell is like, and it's now, need to say, it's absolutely horrendous. No, it's interesting as well. His talk is about half an hour long. He's written a book. I'm not sure how much money he's making through the book. But one thing he tries to do, he tries to undermine everything, or, you know, proof everything with scripture. So he goes through scripture and he references pretty much every statement with scripture. And I respect him very much for that. Whatever he says, he had a horrible experience. As I said, it might be a shocking dream. It might be real that he has had a vision of hell. Hell is a horrible place. There's no doubt about this. And if you understood for a second, as you're listening to me, what hell is like, it would put your Christian walk into context there and then. My only experience of hell is experience of pain I've had. But I didn't remember. I can't even remember the pain. But I know at the time, I thought to myself, this must be like hell. And I was crying out to God. I was crying like a baby because of the pain. I couldn't take it anymore. And it was just horrendous, you know. It's a bit like torture. Torture is to inflict, that's what they specialized in medieval days, to inflict the maximum amount of pain without the person dropping into unconsciousness. And in some instances, I was getting close to dropping into unconsciousness. So it was the pain threshold going right up to 9 or 10. And it was horrendous, absolutely horrendous. And when you go through this, yeah, and it's one was a kidney stone. Again, it's nothing when you think about it. But it was so painful. But when you go through this, you remember all of your sins, and that you repent for everything. Even you become very humble. It changes you for this moment of time. But your body, the memory blocks it out later, maybe for your own protection, and it doesn't last very long. But it certainly lasts for that moment. And so, my friends, I know one thing, and that is for sure, and that is that hell is a horrible place. And I know one thing for sure as well, that whatever heaven is, it's going to be just the right place. It's going to be perfect. It's going to be the place where you enjoy, where you yourself can be you yourself, where you can be bathed in truth, and where there's no pretense, no pride, no nothing. There's just love and goodness. And you will appreciate it more than anything else. Probably not even remember the life you've had here or the jollies you've had here on earth, but you will just focus on the one thing, and that is heaven. And that is the goodness and the greatness of heaven. Okay, we are coming to an end here slowly. I've got a minute left of talking time. This is the war room. In the war room, we need to get a good understanding about this. Don't lap it all up as it comes along. You know, as people tell us about the heaven stories. Then on the other side, don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. I believe there are a lot of stories which are genuine and which are real. Take them for what they are. You know, let it be a refreshment to your soul. Pray about it. Thank God for the great promise of heaven you have. We are encouraged to think about our future. We are encouraged to think about heaven and to invest in heaven and to be heavenly minded. The Bible is very clear about this. So that's good. If somebody has had some insights and shares them with us and they tie up with the Bible, let them encourage, let them be nourishment to your soul. Yeah. But if somebody talk to you a lot of rubbish and they take you on a different route to where the Bible is taking you, be very critical and discard whatever they're saying. Yeah. Don't need to, you know, shout heretic or whatever, but be very careful. Take it with a pinch of salt. Take a little bit of a distance and see, you know, what is really going on here. Are these people fake? Are they real? Is it just the way they communicate, which is not very good? Or what's going on? Did they have a real experience or is it a fake experience? Okay, Lord, I just want to pray, Lord, bless our listeners and help us to be heavenly minded in Jesus' name. Amen.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to ChristianWarRoom.com. That's ChristianWarRoom.com.